Today on The Journey.
This has to be a place where we accept each other, not for who we want other people to be, but for who they are. This has to be a place where we take off masks, share our fears, stop trying to impress, accept one another.
How does your church deal with conflicting values and views? What happens when one believer thinks something to be permissible and another thinks it to be sin? Well, in this half hour, Ron Moore shares Paul's guidelines in dealing with those gray areas of Christian conflict. Also, please note our offer of Ron's study booklet titled Romans. There, he makes the foundational truths of the Christian faith easier to understand. Romans is available free of charge at ronmoore.org, and I'll tell you more about it after today's message. Now, here's Ron with part one of Weak and Strong on The Journey.
Every one of us entered into this worship service carrying some baggage. You agree with that? Not like at the airport where everyone is pulling their luggage behind them and you can see it. The baggage we bring is mental, it's emotional, it's spiritual bags that fill the compartment of our hearts. We often use the word baggage in a negative way, and certainly it can be. But let's face it, each of us has bags stuffed with experiences, past experiences, some we wish weren't there, and expectations. And this mixture of experiences and expectations is as unique as our fingerprints. Now, if we were a social club, it really wouldn't matter that much, would it? I mean, if we were a country club, all I want to do is to make sure that the fairways are really, really, really wide, with no trees, no sand traps, and the greens aren't too slow and aren't too fast. Just right. And I'll have some interaction with other people, but I've had those lunches at country clubs. How'd you hit it today? Man, the trees up at our condo in Hidden Valley, just beautiful this time of year, and we can't wait for the snow to come so we can be skiing every weekend. And man, my 401k. Sure, taking a beating. You've had those conversations before, too, haven't you? But it's different here. Or it should be. See, the church is supposed to be a place, the community of believers, the body of Christ, we're supposed to be a place where it gets a little deeper, a lot deeper. Our conversations may start here on the surface, but we are called to put forth the effort to get connected. And that's all on us. We can have the opportunities, but if you don't get connected on your own, it's not going to happen. And when we get connected and when we get below the surface, then we get down to the things that really matter in our life. Challenges with relationships. Challenges with our kids. Fear that comes with job loss. Pain associated with separation, divorce. The deep numbness that moves in with grief. The challenges of being a light for Christ in a dark workplace and a dark classroom. The anxiety that you're feeling because of the test report you just got back. The guilt of past failure that Satan uses to dog you every day. And the joy and the freedom and forgiveness to find in Christ. It's different here. And yet, we all carry in these bags of expectations and experiences, different backgrounds, strong preferences, fixed convictions, different opinions. So how in the world does this work? How can we do this journey together, connected, yet so different? How can we move forward together with this unique mixture of who we were, who we are, and who we want to be? Take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, we've been working our way through the book of Romans. You remember in chapter 1, Paul gives the theme, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." The power of God, it's the great change that can happen in our life. Then in chapter 1 through the middle of chapter 3, Paul talked about why we needed the gospel. Sin. We are sinners to the core. We don't seek God. We don't want God. We're off on our own. We are sinners. Then in chapter 3 through 5, he talks about the fact that salvation is there for us, that God demonstrated his love to us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Chapter 6 through 8, Paul addresses this aspect of sanctification. Remember that we have been unplugged from the power of the old sinful nature. Now we can live in obedience to Christ. And sanctification is just a word that means spiritual growth, because we don't want to be the same place today as we were yesterday and the same place tomorrow as we are today. We want to grow. 9 through 11, Paul talked about God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. And then in chapters 12 through 16, the end of the book, Paul puts forward some practical application. How in the world does all this theology and all these truths and this life change, how does it work where the rubber meets the road? Paul addressed his letter to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. So he writes his letter to believers. The things he says in his letter are to believers. And in the church of Rome, there was no church of Rome, but as the Christians met together, there was a lot of diversity. The Christians in Rome were primarily Gentile, non-Jews. And many of them had been saved from pagan religions, pagan worship, emperor worship. So think about it. Jesus had come. They had met Christ. Their life was changed, but they had these past experiences. And we all know how deep these past experiences are driven into our heart. And so they lived their life with the emperor as sovereign, but now God is sovereign. And so they're working through all that. There were many Jewish believers as well. And they had this rich tradition and history of the Old Testament and devotion to God. Then they met Jesus. And they realized that it wasn't about religion, but it was about a relationship. It moved from being religious to being spiritual. Christ changed their life. And now they're together in this church. And so some challenges are going to occur because we all have this baggage of experiences and expectations. In chapter 14, Paul lays out broadly how this is supposed to work. In the first 12 verses, he says, we need to accept one another. Then in verses 13 through 23, he says we need to encourage one another. So let's start today with accepting. Next time we'll look at encouraging one another. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. Paul, writing to believers, says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Now, the word accept means to receive or embrace, but it's more than just an attitude. It's more than just a mental assent. It means to physically bring people into your circle of friends and family. That's different than just mental assent, isn't it? So we can say, man, as believers, we accept everyone. But real acceptance is when you bring them into your circle of friends. Paul says, accept him whose faith is weak. And what does that mean? Here's what it doesn't mean. Paul's not talking here about a brand new believer. He has plenty of things to say to new believers. He's not talking here about an immature believer. He has plenty of things to say to immature believers. He's not talking here to a stalled believer who hasn't done one spiritual growth step for 10 years. He has plenty to say to those people. A person whose faith is weak in this passage refers to a Christian who does not have the confidence that their faith in Christ permits them to do certain things that are not prohibited by Scripture. Let me say that again. The person whose faith is weak is a person who does not have the confidence that their faith in Christ permits them to do certain things that are not prohibited in Scripture. Now, when something is prohibited in Scripture, it's a command. We got to do it. When God says, don't do something, you don't do it. When he says, do something, we got to do it. That is not a debatable issue. But here, look at the end of verse 1. Paul's talking about what? Disputable matters. Disputable matters. In Rome, in the church, there were probably many disputable matters, but there were two big ones that Paul had heard of, and so he addresses in this chapter. The first one was eating meat and not eating meat. Eating meat and then being a vegetarian. We don't know why that came up. Part of it could have been the 1 Corinthians 8 situation where some people were eating meat offered to idols, but it seems to be bigger than that. So for whatever reason, maybe from some dietary convictions, some people said no, vegetables only, and some people said, no, you can eat meat. And so this became an issue. There's no place in Scripture where it says, don't eat meat or do eat meat. But the other issue was between Jews and Gentiles. So the Jewish people had this tremendous, rich history. And from the day they could remember, they celebrated the Passover, and they celebrated the Day of Atonement, and they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. They celebrated all these things. And now, as believers, these things were even more rich to them because they realized that these were forerunners of Jesus. Now they trusted in Christ, even more rich. And so they said, man, when that calendar hits the Day of Atonement, church, we need to stop everything and we need to celebrate the Day of Atonement. And the Gentiles said, time out. We've never done that before. In fact, since we have trusted in Christ, isn't every day a celebration? Why do we have to just celebrate Christ on the day of Passover? Every day is a remembrance and celebration of that. And so there's disputable matters going back and forth. Now, as far as I know, these are not issues in our church. I don't think you vegetarians are having a lot of issues with the meat eaters. I don't know that for sure. And the Jewish holidays, they're great, but again, we don't have these issues. So what would be some disputable matters today? Well, let me throw out a few. Some of you will have strong emotional convictions to these things. Again, they're disputable matters. Nowhere in Scripture does it say do this or don't do this. That's what makes it a debatable matter. If Scripture says do it, it's not debatable anymore. So here are some. Tithing. Some of you grew up hearing 10%. And you believe that from the Old Testament, it's there, and that should carry into the New Testament. Others say, you know what? That's not said again in the New Testament, and so you have more flexibility, and we should just give generously as God has given to you. Enjoyment of material things. There'll be some, again, based on your experience and background, who in your mind, if a person has this size of house, it's too much. Or if they drive this type of car, they're extravagant. Others won't have that issue. Education. Some of you are dogmatic on private education, Christian education, others public education. Laura and I have been raked over the coals through the years by some because we didn't send our kids to a private school or a Christian school or homeschool. Here's one. Halloween. What are you going to do with that one? Some people have some serious convictions on this one. How about Christmas? Laura and I were in a church years ago where there was a group that couldn't have Christmas trees. That was a pagan tradition. And they told us Santa Claus wasn't real. Now, how did those presents get under the tree? Seriously. And when Lori puts that milk and those cookies out, who eats those? And that's what I want to know. Movies. PG-13. You okay with that? Some people aren't. Or R-rated movies. Alcohol. Now, we know drunkenness is prohibited, but drinking isn't. So what about alcohol? Tobacco. Now, here's the tricky thing, because some people would say, I'd never go to an R-rated movie, and no Christian ever should. But give me another beer. And other people say, I'd never drink a beer. But do other stuff that people wouldn't do. Disputable matters. Sunday activities. Styles of worship. The list goes on and on. Some of you will relate to this. When I was growing up, a big issue in church, home, and school was long hair and bell-bottom pants. Remember that? It was an issue with my dad. It was preached on sometimes at our church. And my coach said, absolutely not. No long hair, no bell bottoms on my team. Hippies do that. I don't have any hippies on my team. And I will never forget the day when a friend of mine came to school with bell-bottom pants on. His mom had gone shopping and made him wear these pants. And he was as scared as we were surprised. To make matters worse, they were pink. With a pink matching shirt. And that kid, he had a bad day. And he's probably still in therapy over that. So how do we deal with these disputable matters? Well, Paul gives us four things that we need to deal with. Four things that as believers, we need to do to accept one another. Here's number one. Accept each other without motives to conform each other. Ooh, that took a corner there, didn't it? Accept each other without motives to conform each other. Look at verse 1. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on these disputable matters. Accept him, but not for the purpose of expressing my preferences. Accept others, but not for the purpose of getting into quarrels so I can prove to them that my strong convictions are right. Accept them, but not so that I can subject your convictions to my scrutiny. Accept them without the motive of trying to change them. Again, we're not talking about commands of Scripture. If someone's in sin, we need to go change them. We need to go confront them. We're talking here about disputable matters. Number two, we must accept one another without the smile of contempt. Look at verse 3, first part. The man who eats everything should not look down on the man who does not. Now, you know how that goes. When you mature as a believer, you'll get it. You'll be as holy as I am. But right now, you're just a little baby Christian. One of these days, God willing, you'll grow up. Number three, we must accept one another without the scowl of judgment. Look at the end of verse 3. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has already accepted him. Remember, God has brought him into the family. God has redeemed him. God has justified him. God has declared him righteous. God has adopted him as his child. We are secure and forever will be. Why would we pass judgment on someone God doesn't? That's what Paul says in verse 4. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And then one more. We must accept one another as those who will all give an account to God. Look at verse 10. You then, why do you judge your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Now, I got to tell you, I do not know, I can't even imagine the emotion that I'm going to feel when I stand before God to give an account of my life. But I can promise you this, I'm not going to be worried about you. I'm not going to be worried whether you celebrated Halloween or not. I can promise you that. We're going to give an account before God and allow us to accept each other here on the journey. So here we are with all our baggage, but this has to be a place where we accept each other. This has to be a place where we accept each other, not for who we want other people to be, but for who they are. This doesn't mean we don't challenge each other or sharpen each other along the spiritual journey. Doesn't mean we don't hold each other accountable. But this has to be a place where we take off masks, share our fears, stop trying to impress, not trying to make people think we're always on top of everything. It has to be a place where we find answers, but it also has to be a place where we ask questions, accept one another. You've been a believer for a long time, but you just don't feel accepted. And the things that go along with that feeling are painful and sometimes make you compromise because you want a lot of other people to accept you. The church has to be a place of acceptance, not making people who we want them to be. But I just want to tell you the hard truth. The church is also made up of saved sinners like you, and something will be said or done along the way that will hurt you. When you depend on people to bring deep satisfaction in your heart, you will always be disappointed. But there's one who will never disappoint you. There's one who accepts you, who knows all about you. He knows all your baggage. And he loves you anyway. And today, as we've talked about accepting each other, we just want to end with this. Today is the day, I pray, that you feel the freedom of the acceptance of Jesus Christ, who will never leave you or forsake you, who will never stop loving you, who will love you all the way through eternity.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Some have said that Paul's letter to the Romans is the Bible compressed into one book, yet few believers understand its brilliance, color, and depth. Now, Ron Moore makes that easier with his 50-page study guide simply titled Romans. This diamond of the New Testament sparked the Protestant Reformation. Its worth is so great that countless Christians have staked their reputations, their lives, and their spiritual destiny on its teaching. Learn why when you join Ron in his study of this foundational letter to the Christians of Rome. Romans is yours for free at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address, ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
So what would be some debatable issues in our day? Giving would be one. Is it tithing in the Old Testament, 10%, or in the New Testament? We're living under grace, and it's grace-giving, some will say. Enjoyment of material things. Some people have no problem about having a house and a boat and a cabin and all this stuff. Others say, no, if you're a real Christian, you don't do that. Debatable things, not in the essentials. Education. I send my kid to public school. I want them to be a witness in the community. I send my kid to Christian school. I want the Christian doctrine poured in. No, I do homeschool. I'm not going to trust anyone with my kids. Now, none of them are wrong, but we debate those things. They can become wrong, as we'll see. We talked about this, Halloween. You're going to dress your kids up or not? Becomes an issue. Christmas. Watching PG-13 or R-rated movies. Alcohol, tobacco. Sunday activities. Styles of worship have always been a disputable issue. Here's one, political convictions. Might we have some discussion on that? Systems of theology. Here's a problem with these issues. If you get me on one, I'll get you on another one. Let me just pick a couple here, all right? So if you say, we have a conviction not to do anything on Halloween, I have no problem with that. But the problem is then when you say, we don't do it, therefore no one should. We don't do it. How could any real Christian parent allow their kids to dress up like a Dalmatian and go collect candy from them? So you got me on that one, but then I come to your house and you say, what type of wine would you like with your meal? And I say, whoa, wait a minute. I don't drink. And real Christians don't drink. See how this goes? Disputable matters become cyclical judgment. because we're going to pin each other to the wall. So Paul says, we got to deal with this. He gives 10 things that we need to do regarding these disputable matters.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your free copy of Ron's study booklet, Romans. It's available in print or as a digital download at ronmoore.org. Or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.